This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Thursday. Thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Congratulations to our man Dyson Daniels, the great barrier thief. All defensive first team. He joins Evan Mobley, who was the defensive player of the year. I felt like it could have been Dyson Daniels, who led the league in steals by a mile. But Dyson Daniels makes this team, guys. Ironically, so does Draymond Green. Amen Thompson from the Rockets, should I say. But this is a heck of an honor. And for everybody that says that we don't play defense, it sets a tone for everybody else, Mike. Mm. And when you play with a guy like Dyson Daniels, who averaged basically 3 steals per game in his first year with the Hawks, 229 steals, the most by any player in the NBA since Gary Payton in 1996.
Ooh, I really thought remember we talked about Wemby at one point was going to win this? I'm surprised that he didn't take it over Evan Mobley. But again, Cleveland is a winning team. And that has any bearing on that. We're a team which is in a play-in. But we wouldn't even be where we were without him. Think about how bad this team would be without Dyson Daniels.
Yeah. First team All-NBA for Dyson Daniels.
Good, so what a stud.
What
a difference maker he made to this team. He really did.
He did.
Before Jalen got hurt, before obviously we traded DeAndre. I don't know what we would have been. Could we have been with the Pacers? I don't know about that, but if we'd have to add some more stuff at the deadline. But for the first half of the season, especially when we were in the midseason tournament, the guy was making plays, man. You saw the difference immediately.
He's legit. And that's why you don't trade him. You certainly don't trade Jalen. And I know there's a lot of conversation about what we're going to do, you know, trying to acquire one of these potential stars that are established already in the league. And real quick, Mike, I said this. Look, there's only one guy that I want. And I don't even think it's possible, and that's Giannis. All these other guys we're talking about, Zion, no thank you. Don't want it.
I must not get to Zion.
No. You know, we can talk about all these other players, and it's like, oh, yeah, man, these guys would be great.
We'd have to give up Jalen if ever there was a trade.
If you're going to do it.
If with Milwaukee, to bring Giannis. I mean, the guys, as we said, Carl, it's not like you're flipping baseball cards on your front stoop.
No.
You know, hey, I'll give you Vit Creci, and I'll throw in – no, you got to give the good stuff, and they want Jalen. They would make a play for Dyson, too, but that's not negotiable.
No, it's not. Kevin Durant. No, thank you.
No, I've seen enough of him.
No.
And again, halfway through the season, he won out anyway.
Joel Embiid. No, thank
you. Damaged goods at this point.
No.
Just is.
Yeah. Bam. If Miami's rebuilding, Bam.
I like Bam. I think that kind of athleticism and size in the front court would help.
Those are guys that potentially are going to be moving, and we'll see what Miami does.
Miles Turner's a guy that I like. Was, you know, didn't have a great night last night per se, but that's a dude, you know, if he didn't opt out. You know, that's one of those dudes.
All right, man. Congratulations to the Great Barrier Thief. Terrific year for Dyson Daniels. Let's talk some dogs.
By the way, I did think the plunder from down under was okay, but unfortunately, it just never got the traction of the Great Barrier Thief.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They're both killer nicknames.
Thanks, Carl.
They are.
Why don't you just pat me on my head?
They really are. I didn't do that. They did. 12-team college football playoff, guys. Here's the news. They're going to move to straight seating, a straight seating model for the upcoming fall, which means the selection committee's top four teams with the top four seeds all receive first-round byes. This was announced today, and Mike and I, a couple of hours ago, were talking about this. Mm-hmm. So the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame, the athletic director, that compromises or comprises, should I say, the CFP management committee. And so they got to talking about this. Everybody knows if you go back to last year, Boise shouldn't have been ranked or seeded where they were, and that bugged a lot of people. And so they said, how do we fix it?
Should have just simply been Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4. Not the case, where because they were a conference champ, and I guess it's almost like they went out of their way to give them that juice. It just seems silly. You know, it never passed the eye test. Boise State got a bye, so they went on and get greased by Penn State.
Yep.
You know, that was one that was tough to get your head around. Arizona State got a bye as a conference champ, but then they turned around and really kind of redeemed themselves because everyone was dogging Arizona State. And damn, if they don't nearly win that game, if yours doesn't put it together, some would say there was a penalty that was missed. Sorry.
It was.
That would have helped that Arizona State.
No, it was. The five highest ranked conference champions will still be guaranteed a spot in the 12. But it does not guarantee you a first round bye being one of the top four.
And again, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Penn State, that was right last year. Now, can Georgia get there? Does it matter? Kirby, we talked yesterday. We spent some time talking about how important it is and how difficult it is, you know, to win a 16-team SEC. But, I mean, man, you still beat Texas twice. How many people thought a team could beat Texas twice last year?
No, listen.
Just that Alabama game, man.
Well,
that's the one.
And I thought
the Ole Miss, you knew there was going to be one that you were not anticipating it would be a slip-up. But that Ole Miss game always felt trappy.
It did. And that was one we talked about all season long.
Right.
But I'll say, as far as the Texas game, I did not remember going into that game. I said, the pressure's on Sark, man. Kirby's been here, done that. And then they show up in Austin and they handle business. And then you get a chance to get some revenge in the SEC championship game, and you knock the quarterback out, and you still can't get it done. So kudos, man. They got the job done. It's going to be interesting to see what Georgia does this upcoming season. By the way, the group today making this announcement, as we just mentioned, for the College Football Playoff Committee, they also agreed to maintain the $8 million financial commitment to the four highest-ranked conference champions. So that's $4 million for reaching the playoff, mm-hmm. and then an additional $4 million for reaching the quarterfinals. So, you know, if you're wondering what the money looks like, that is what it is, and that's what it remains as of right now. Once they go to 16 teams, Mike, money's going to go up. It will increase.
Right.
But this is the fundamental change, like in 2026 and beyond. But this was simple math right here. This makes total sense. And by the way, I think it helps Georgia. And what this tells you is, again, you don't have to win your conference to be one of the teams that gets a bye.
Right. And I know that, you know, for Georgia, when you look at this, how this season is going to develop, who's going to emerge as the stud on defense with, you know, losing guys like Mykel Williams, Jalen Walker, you know, feeling maybe pretty good about your secondary, perhaps. The running game, the offensive line. See, that the offensive line to me is the number one question for Georgia, which nobody ever seems to really think about.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Connor Riley, you know, he'll back us up when you and I ask him about it on our interviews on the weekly basis. But that's why it's just without the depth because of everybody getting a piece of the action in the portal. It just you don't have the kind of super, you know, the super duper lineups on both sides of the ball that Kirby had in 21 and 22. Meanwhile, LSU article today from Saturday Down South talking about LSU. Don't sleep on them because a lot of heat on Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Saying, look, that Nussmeier is back. Great wide receivers back. Their coordinators are back. Basically, they're kind of running it back. Now, they did have some disappointing losses last year. But if some are saying with all the weapons they've got and the experience and what they've added, that, you know, they've got to, you know, he got to win. Or Brian Kelly could get got at LSU.
I believe that because the talent is there. And if he's not able to put it together for another season, Mike, and look, how many teams should be, we say this every year, like what are the teams – I'm not going to include Alabama. I'm sorry. What are the teams that you feel like have a legitimate shot to go to the playoffs? Look, we just talked about Ole Miss. I think they're going to be good again, guys. And they may have the most dynamic quarterback who you haven't heard about coming up and playing for them this upcoming season. They're going to be good. Georgia, I still suspect, Mike, is going to be in the mix. But let's not count out, you know, a much-improved Florida team or maybe, Mike, even a South Carolina team that looked great that maybe even should have made the playoff last year.
Right. They're physical. I mean, like, if they had – let's be honest. It was they had a little bit of field goal kicking, a little bit of teams. They probably beat Alabama. That would have been four regular season losses for Alabama. Five, counting the bowl game. But, yeah, I just – I look at, you know, Ole Miss. I know they got to replace Jackson Dart, but that's a team that seems to live in the portal and do it right.
Yep.
Real quick, I'm reading this article from Saturday Down South about LSU. Fun little factoid. You realize LSU has not won the opening game of the season in the 2020s?
No, I have not.
They're 0-4. Florida State swept them.
Okay.
They lost last year, and now they get Clemson this year in their Death Valley.
Mm.
And that's a good Clemson team.
It is.
So that's something interesting. And again, also, then you throw in how Brian Kelly tends to wear out his welcome pretty quick with a monster ego that rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. Mm-hmm. But my point is, four teams at least, and yes. I'm not saying Alabama, but say what you want. Everybody's saying, hey, Texas may be back in the mix as well.
Well,
so,
by the way, you believe in Arch Manning, right?
I do.
But you believe in Sark? Do you trust Sark?
Not as much in big games as I did last year, as I told you, even at home.
Sark is kind of becoming like the Marty Schottenheimer of college football.
Well, listen, here's the problem. You've acquired all this talent. They're giving you a blank check every year. And you're getting all these guys. And unlike Kirby, when Kirby got here, right, and we said, oh, all right, you're getting number one class after number one class. What are you going to do with it? Go win national titles. Texas has yet to do that, and they're doing the same thing, Mike. He's getting great class after class. Best wide receivers, best linebackers, best offensive linemen. You're not winning titles. So at some point, they will turn on him, as
yes.
they do, and they will say, we got to go find a guy who can put all of this together, not just recruit and do what Sark has been able to do, which is bring in great players.
Yeah, it was interesting. We were talking with Day-Day earlier today about the article about the greatest coaches of the 2000s.
Yeah.
And Kirby ranks as the fourth best. So basically, of all the 2000s, I mean, Day-Day, is the 2000 to 20 to present, not the 2020s.
They said all the 2000s.
Okay, that's so pretty, in the last 20, the last 25 years,
that's pretty impressive. But you think about it, right? It's been 15 years now. No, he was here. What, 15 was his first year? 14 was his first year.
Yeah, 16.
So for what he's done in this short period of time, and you think about Pete Carroll's run, right? The two guys that are in front of him, pretty obvious, right?
Right.
Pete Carroll at USC. Which in the early 2000s, they had an amazing run. He put tons of guys in the NFL, and they had a chance to four-three-peat, to be right. honest with you. And then the other guys, obviously Nick Saban, right? So, I mean,
right.
that makes sense.
Look, Dabo, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, is Urban in front of him, too? And
yeah.
Urban Meyer, okay.
And Urban did some amazing things.
He did.
And he won titles with Florida and with Ohio State. Now we look at Dabo kind of like a creep that he is. But I digress. Yeah, I mean, Kirby's been here, 10 years. We go back to 16.
Yeah.
And then you think about it, man. In such a short amount of time, and almost just it could have almost pulled it off. You know, if not, I'm not going to relive what happened with Tua, but you get the idea. Dabo, to me, is funny because for guys that are new to Dukes and Bell, when Carl and I, because we knew each other for years, we finally got to work together. Carl started with Cordell Stewart, and I came in later. But, you know, when you and I were doing one of our first shows, we were just talking about Georgia and everything, and I said, look at Clemson. Georgia and Clemson are kind of the same program. Clemson just got there a little bit sooner. But the idea that, you know, Clemson had always put great athletes in the NFL, had always had, you know, just been this close, and unfortunately just had coaches, no disrespect to Coach Bowden, but Tommy Bowden was Tommy Bowden, and Mark Richt was better than Tommy Bowden, but still wasn't bringing home the bacon.
Right.
And then it takes that kind of that will to power of coach that Kirby is, that Dabo's been, and Dabo's trying to get it back. Even in a down year, they made the playoffs last year.
No, they did. They did. I give Dabo a lot of credit. The thing is, he's had to do a heck of a job of adjusting without two longtime coordinators that spent, you know, over a decade each with him, and now they're both head coaches. One of them is Brent Venables at Oklahoma, which, you know, Billy Bowman talked about when he came on the show, the safety for Oklahoma, who's now with the Falcons. And I just feel like he did a really good job last year. They're going to be fine. I know Clemson fans have been freaking out. They're going to be fine.
Well, again, is Klubnik going to finally be that guy? Carl and I always joke around about the guy that called in that day. Let me tell you something, man. Enough about Justin. Now, Trevor Lawrence is good. This DJ Uyunglele, that's the real deal. You just wait. So we'll see if Klubnik can step up. One thing, just real quick, we talked about Dabo. Bobby Bowden went through it. Dabo went through it. I still think Todd Monken is the greatest assistant coach, other than maybe Sam Pittman, that the Kirby's had.
No doubt.
And I think Monken, no disrespect to Bobo, but Bobo's just not as good. Bobo's maybe a better, and certainly a better recruiter, but Monken was better game day.
I'm curious to see what he does differently this year. I am. We're going to find out. Hey, man, coming up, as we watch the NBA Conference Finals, what could Anse Salah, the new president of basketball ops, we're going to hire him. Anse Salah is the new general manager for the team. What could they learn from Alex Anthopoulos? We're going to talk about this when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Yeah, that's what the Knicks did. They busted it all right.
You know, I just put a piece of video up at Mike Bale ATL. Follow Carly's. Put them up. See Dukes. And Day Day is, ouch, my neck hurts, at Day Day on Twitter. But no, there's a photo out there and a piece of video. And I got this because, you know, I went to high school with a bunch of Knicks fans. Like, I was a Knicks fan. Just don't tell anybody. But basically, Tyrese Halliburton double dribbled before he kicks it back out for that two that looked like a three.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Day Day, you've seen the video. Talk to my man.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and I am a Knicks fan, so yeah.
Y'all really gonna complain about the referee?
Listen, I'm not complaining.
You asked me about the officiating.
They missed
blew
the ball.
A 14-point lead. Nine-point lead with 50 seconds left.
When he dribbles inside of, he goes past Bridges.
He did it so quickly, you didn't see it.
And he's up by Robinson, and basically he's got two hands on the ball in the paint. Then he kicks it back out and swivels for the attempt. But he does have two hands on the ball. It's quite clear.
You know what? Now we're looking at this like the Zapruder film, right?
I mean, that's my line, but yes, exactly. But he did.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. They blew this game, and I actually thought the officiating was going to go the opposite way.
Right.
Especially in overtime.
Right. It would go for the Knicks.
But when you're not making shots, I can't give you calls. If you're not going to the basket, I can't give you
Do you think the Knicks were gassed and they couldn't get out to the perimeter at the end?
They looked tired. Did you see the shot by Brunson? It was
right.
An air ball. I mean, I thought he was tired at the end of the overtime. But and I know there are some of you saying, man, these guys are mugging each other out there. Well, there's two ways of that you can look at that. One is they let him play, which was the case the entire game, or I'm not going to give you calls that you don't deserve in the sense that the Knicks were not being aggressive. And again, I didn't feel like they were going to the basket like I thought they would, especially in the overtime period.
No, I just saw that. Again, I did not even think about it because, again, I was anticipating the Knicks blowing it and thought when that ball hung up over the rim, it seemingly, I mean, that went practically over the top of the backboard and down. Unbelievable. And look, hats off. And I'm not doing that sour grapes thing. I'm just saying there's Knicks fans going crazy, going, he freaking picked up the double dribbled. But they're not going to call it, and that's an exciting play, and it's what it is.
Don't worry, game two, you guys will get plenty of calls.
I say they replay the sequence ahead of game two.
Oh, stop! Yeah,
there's no way the NBA is going to allow. Well, you know, we've seen it before, though. You know, but in Indiana and in Oklahoma City, oof, that's not going to be good for the ratings.
That's exciting, Mike. What are you talking about? That's exciting. Yes. Let's hear this play that Mike's mentioning, and then we got to ask you a question because it gets back to our Hawks, guys, as you watch these conference finals. Tyrese Haliburton, game tying, not game winning, which he thought it was. I did too in real time, in the moment. I was like, he just won the game. He didn't.
Haliburton, he'll take it. He'll backpedal a three for the win, and oh! He got it!
cold. And he does the choke thing, and everybody's like, man, here we go again. And then they review it, and they got that call right. His toe was on the line, and let's go to the overtime. Here's what he said about the choke gesture. Is he done with this, by the way? Is he going to bring this back out?
Well, he's talked about it, and it's kind of funny because he's basically saying it was premature choke, but he'll have to maybe go back to the well. He doesn't want to overdo it. But I thought that we got that sound bite because that's gold, man, with Tyrese Haliburton talking about it.
I wasn't, like, plotting on it or, like, plotting anything. I just – everybody wanted me to do it, like, last year at some different point, but it's just got to – it's got to feel right. And it felt right at the time. If I would have known it was a two, I would not have done it. So I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then I might be, people might say I'm like aura farming. So I'm not, I don't plan on using it again.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Because if you lose a series, then it's just not the same. And also, how many times are you going to be in this moment where you have a shot that hits the backboard or hits the brim and goes up 80 feet in the air like it did? Like, to Mike's point, you could have done that in slow-mo, and you wouldn't have believed that happened. So I don't know if he'll be back in a moment like that. But in that particular moment, Mike, it was brilliant. And I was all over it. And I said this earlier for those who missed it. The NBA needs characters. We root for these guys, whether we like them or not. And a lot of people right now are not liking Tyrese Haliburton, not because he's a bad guy, but when you do those things, Mike, you have a fan base like the Knicks fan base that immediately turns on you, even if you're a nice guy, because they're like, oh, I hate this guy. They've hated Reggie Miller for 30 years. They now hate Tyrese Haliburton.
Right. Yeah, Reggie Miller did it on May 7th, by the way, the 8 points in 9 seconds and right in front of Spike Lee in the choke thing. I love him saying that. He goes, yeah, man, I really anticipate doing that. I didn't really expect the Knicks to choke like that. That would have been funny. You know, had I anticipated the Knicks choking like that, then it was a three-pointer. But, yeah, he is a good dude. And we heard played some Charles Barkley from last night on TNT saying, yeah, man, let's end this season or postseason-long ban on Tyrese Haliburton's dad from being there at Gainbridge Arena in Indianapolis. Let the man enjoy his son. Now just don't get on the court there, dad, and don't show your ass like he did against Giannis.
All right, so you see these teams. Knicks, are they ahead of schedule? Maybe. They did make significant moves to improve. And, you know, they
the Randle for Cat trade's the big one. That's so kind of like, wow.
Even when they let DiVincenzo go, everybody was like, oh, that's a mistake. But they're here. Indiana was here last year. This shouldn't be a surprise.
They got swept by the Celtics, so they got outclassed last year.
Last year they did, but they were ahead of schedule. I don't think they are now. I think this is what they know what to expect. Ant-Man was here last year, Mike. Mavs beat them in the Western Conference Finals. Like, these are teams that you look at and you go, how are they constructed and how well is our team constructed? And this is the point I'm getting to. Anse Sala is now the general manager, acting general manager. We're looking for a new president of basketball operations. We don't know when that's going to happen with the Hawks. But Alex Anthopoulos has been the most successful general manager in this city, period. His moves, the things he's done, the acquisitions, not everything has been correct, but 95% of it has. And when you look at how Alex Anthopoulos operates, you go, can the Hawks learn something from him and how he does it, Mike, and what he how he goes about acquiring players? Because my point is this. If you just feel like we go get the most expensive guy and that's going to be the difference in the Hawks, that's not how these teams were built. That's not how the Pacers were built. It's certainly not how the T-Wolves were built. And so when you look at the construction of these teams, the Knicks were good, and then they said, how can we get better? And Mike mentioned, okay, let's go get Cat. Now they find themselves back in the conference finals. I just think the Hawks have to figure out that part of this thing.
Yeah, and one thing you could learn from Alex deals with his own salary cap because the Braves now, it's Braves, you know, it's their own thing. But who can I blame? Terry McGurk and the guys the primary shareholders of the Braves, they just sort of have a salary level that lets him get into around, right now, 8-7. But there's a huge jump to get up to 5. It's almost like $100 million to get in that top 5. I'm not saying spend like the Dodgers, the Mets. That's asinine and insane. But he works with a cap. That's my point. And technically, anybody who's trying to buy players for the Hawks works for a freaking cap because the owner won't get into any form of the luxury apron, which Steve Koonin makes excuses every time he comes on the show about. Sorry, Steve. Fans are getting sick of it. So you've got to, if it requires $41 million or $42 million to get the players in here, I just felt wrestlers going to have to do something. And how does whoever comes in to work and be in the guy in that seat with Ansah picking these players, how do you get this team better when you really can't go get spend all the money you need to? You know, that's no other way out of this rut. Either you blow the thing up and we wait 4 years to get back, or you got to spend a way to get out of it. Get him an all-star. Trey's never played with an all-star, you know? So that's just my two cents. Where it involves the money.
Yeah, look, Indiana, name their superstar. Pascal Siakam is a very good player. Right. He's not a superstar in this league.
But he's a guy, imagine him here, but that's a kind of better-than-average player with their star, obviously, who's Halliburton, who didn't want to come here and would have been arguably a big difference maker for us had we stayed healthy this year. That's a hell of a piece.
I don't disagree. What about Minnesota? Opposite Ant-Man, like, who would you go, I need him on my team right now?
Julius Randle would be cool here if he could coexist with Trey.
But here's the thing. Randle's been in the league, and everybody thought he was a bust. He finally ends up in a place where he's excelling.
Because he's the beta, not the alpha.
Exactly. So all I'm saying is, spending the money, yes, but you still have to get the guys that are the supporting cast around the right stars. And if Trey is going to be here, and I say a big F, because I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen there. You've got to go get the right guys around him. Minnesota's done that. Indiana's done that. The Knicks did it around Brunson, Mike. They went and got his homeboys from college and said, hey, we're going to add some more pieces. Those guys play well together, and it's worked. A lot of people didn't think it would at the NBA level. They just didn't go trade for the most expensive free agent.
Miles Turner's a guy I'd be interested in because I want size in the front court. You know, Naz Reid, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Naz Reid has an option. Is it a Miles Turner or Naz Reid has a player option to stay at the team he's with? But, you know, you're seeing Naz right now with Minnesota, speaking of which, in the Western Conference Finals. That's just something I just love to find a little front court size. And then we can have 00. Okongwu can kind of play the four, you know, and then we've got a strong rotation there. I think that's solid.
Yeah. The team that's closest to the Braves is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Built from the draft.
Right.
Guys already in the system. They come up. They grow together, and now they're at a place where they're competing for a championship. Mm-hmm. That was Acuna and Ozzy and
then
Riley and all of our
supplement
guys.
Supplement it with the veterans, et cetera.
Absolutely. Right. It's the closest thing. All I'm saying is Alex has had that success where no other general manager has, and I don't know if the Hawks are going to do that, Mike, if they don't go about this the right way. 404-726-0929. Naz Reid spent his rookie year in the G League. Just saying. So did Jalen, half
right.
a year.
Right, right.
You just never know where these guys come from. They're not superstars.
But do you feel size is the number one thing for us?
Yeah, we got to get more.
We got to have some.
We got to get more. What's coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man. We know we talked about the Indy 500 earlier with Day Day coming up on Sunday, but coming up tomorrow, are you ready for the Weenie 500?
What?
Yes. The Weenie 500.
What is that?
I'm going to tell you about it. And remember when that dude fell out of the stands in Pittsburgh?
Oh, brutal.
I said to you, I said, you know, I think that cat's drunk. Guess what? That cat was drunk.
Mm.
Word coming out of Pittsburgh, and now a guy's going to Popo for it. We'll explain. Coming up in Guy Talk.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Hey, man, we're talking about that amazing comeback win for the Pacers at the Mecca last night, Madison Square Garden. And I put the video up where some people feel, I didn't say, you know, I thought necessarily, I said, did Tyrese Haliburton have a little double dribble before he kicked it back out and made the two that looked like a three that sent the game to overtime? A couple dudes hit us up and they claim that Bridges hit him on the arm, which facilitated the ball being loose day-day, and ergo, not a double dribble. You buy that?
Well, then it should have been a foul.
That's right. Well, there's no foul call on that. You know, either way, it's still, I mean, he didn't hit him where the hands were holding the basketball. I mean, tapped him on the back of the shoulder. Either way, something for the fans, the Knicks fans, to complain and whine about, and we'll see what happens. As Carl says, pressure's clearly on the shoulders of the Knicks in game two. Pacers have already done what they had to do. Real quick, I'll keep it in New York or actually take it up to Boston for the next one. Juan Soto gets nailed twice by New York media for loafing. First, again, the Yankees, if you didn't see it, there was a sequence where he doesn't run out a grounder that was kind of flubbed, a shorter, sort of like a quail to second base. And then later on, subsequently, he also is accused of loafing. They drop him down in the lineup. He's been struggling. So his first bat moved down in the lineup. He takes four pitches, never takes the bat off his shoulder, and strikes out.
Whoa.
And so needless to say, the highest, one of the highest paid players on the planet,
yeah,
plus New York media, plus a slump, and then moving from third to fourth now equals Soto in the crosshairs of the fans and media.
Well, you know they're relentless. They will not come off of this. I mean, he's got to be Aaron Judge-like for them to come off of this. That's not a good place, man. Not a good place to be.
So we'll see where this one goes. But, yeah, Juan Soto, a guy that, you know, it's funny. You know, at times, the mercurial Juan Soto, I mean, I don't really think beefs when he was with the Yankees last year, other than him not staying with the Yankees and, you know, taking off Yankee fans and going cross town to the Mets. Hey, some baseball for you. This story came out a couple weeks ago. And, you know, at the time, you got to be careful on sports talk radio. You can't say, oh, is that guy a wacko or something? Because if a guy's got, you know, legitimate mental health issues or something, or somebody has a physical condition and had a seizure, talking about the dude who fell out of the outfield bleachers in the Pirates game. Now, if you guys remember this, it was like, whoa, what the hell happened? Back April 30th, dude's name is Ethan Kirkwood. Actually, he's the guy, Kevin Markwood is the guy who fell. Ethan Kirkwood is the dude sitting next to him, who it now turns out told investigators, yep, he bought two beers for his friend who apparently doesn't drink a lot of beer because he was tuned up when he fell out of the stands and looked like he broke his back. He is now facing two misdemeanor counts of furnishing alcohol to a minor. And when you saw the guy react to the big hit and fall out of the stands, you know, he looked like, if my first reaction, he was on drugs. You know, there was an old Steve Martin joke for Dom and for Day-Day. You guys are youngins. But Steve Martin, whenever he had a heckler in the crowd, the guy would be like, ah, Steve Martin would go, hey, I remember when I had my first beer. In other words, you're an idiot. You know, you're drunk. Shut up. And so this was it. Now, basically, it may have been this guy's first beer. And the other guy now is looking at two misdemeanor counts. So I don't know what that means in Pittsburgh if he pays a fine or whatever.
Yeah. Now, this guy, is he still in the hospital? Do we know?
He's apparently out.
Okay.
But they're saying he's going to have all sorts of issues, needless to say, because it looked like he was going to have a good parking space the rest of his life when he first hit the warning track.
That was brutal, man. I mean, like, again, players on one knee. It was Cubs, Pirates.
Right.
Everybody's, like, praying for this guy, and nobody really knew what exactly had happened. Totally makes sense, Mike.
Well, somebody
– did your first beer make you cuckoo?
You know, it's funny. The first drink I had, and I've told this story before, it was an Army-Navy game with my dad at the JFK, the stadium where Live Aid was held in Philadelphia. Doesn't exist anymore. But anyway, it was so cold. It's, you know, around November. It was end of November, December. And so my dad had that binocular flask.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys, you'd unscrew. They still make it, I'm sure, but you unscrew the eyepiece. And so my dad's like, try some of this. It'll warm you up. And I think it was Southern Comfort. So that was my father of the year. I was probably 8 years old drinking Southern Comfort at the Army-Navy game.
You know what's funny? I haven't seen binoculars at a football game. And now that you got me thinking about it.
You don't need them now with the Jumbotron.
No, but that used to be like the normal thing as a kid. Right. You know, you take binoculars so you could see. That's interesting.
Now, I'll be an idiot. There's always some old-timers that'll have the binoculars to see a wreck or something to see what's going on looking down pit road. Because I'm right at the exit of pit road.
Oh, racing.
In the turn one
for
and racing.
Race. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, by the way, so when you remember the first time you touched
alcohol? Oh, at home. My dad, he was like, you want a beer? I was like, no, I don't want a beer. And he's like, no, you're going to taste this before you taste it out somewhere else. So I had a beer, and he's like, what do you think? I was like, this is disgusting. I'll never have another one. What a lie that was.
Right. Day-Day, how old were you when your lips first touched alcohol?
Probably 18.
You square Dominator? I know Dominic's dad, so I know you were probably about six.
So I was going to say, the funny thing is, this one's actually on my mom.
Oh.
I was about 3 years old.
What?
And somebody left an open wine cooler. Oh. And I was a little curious and
it was sweet.
Went to town.
It was sweet.
They caught me in the corner, just taking it to the head.
Man, Dom going with the Bartles and James.
Yeah.
And we thank you for your support.
Yes,
wow.
We do. Yeah. Did you feel, your first beer though, did you feel loopy? Like, you know, how did you feel?
It was great. So listen, I'm going to tell you guys something real quick. My shout out to my Morris Brown classmates. So I was a freshman.
Okay.
All right. And I didn't like the taste of beer, so I wouldn't even want to try to drink it. My friends used to make me drink it through a straw.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
What are you, an Italian girl from Long Island?
No, it's
just, oh, my God. Connie, we're drinking Tuborg Gold through a straw.
They were like, it was the only way I was going to get used to it.
Mm. Okay. I don't know about that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they used to have me sip through a straw.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny. And we got guys, you know, with kids in the car. And, hey, ask your dad for a beer when you get home tonight. Tell him Uncle Mike said so. But it is funny how the beer, how your taste buds and your taste evolved. You know, because, like, I couldn't touch scotch when I was a kid, you know, when I was a teen. Kid, I was a teenager. But, you know, scotch is the thing I developed a taste for.
You're drinking scotch as a teen?
Well, I mean, drinking everything as a teenager. I've told a story. We got time for this. We're having fun. It's Memorial Day weekend. A lot of fun going down. But my dad, when my parents were separated, and I lived with my father in the city, and he had like a liquor cabinet, and my buddies all come over, and you met Richie LaRock, a big Rich, and so he had I think it was Canadian Club, and so we polished off like half a bottle of Canadian Club, and then I realized, oh crap, my dad's coming home, so I filled it back up with like supermarket iced tea.
Trying to match it.
Because it looked brown.
Yeah.
Match the color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the old man goes to pour himself a Canadian Club. It's like, what the hell is this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was a beating. That was a beating. That was a whooping.
They did that to my mom. They put in her gin, they put water in there. And, you know, because you can't tell until you taste
clear.
It. And, yeah, that was on. Somebody's been in the gym. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, man, speaking of booze, did a drunk PGA fan cost Max Homa over $5,000 in prize money? Let me explain. Max is playing 18, and he hits a shot into the pine straw. And it looks like a funky lie. I'm getting this from PGA. This is from Golf Digest. So it's kind of a funky lie. It almost looks like a bird's nest, like in the pine straw. That's kind of strange. Well, I guess a fan felt guilty enough about this. He went on Reddit and said, I was sitting by the 18th fairway at Quail Hollow, and I made a little nest out of my pine straw so my transfusion wouldn't tip over.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's apparently where Max Homa's shot landed. Because when this guy apparently went to take a leak, he left the spot. So there was like a little bird's nest he had made out of the pine straw. For those who don't drink, a transfusion is like, it's vodka with a splash of grape and ginger ale. Anyway, matter of fact, we played at Craig Sager's Memorial Golf Tournament. And that logo they have for that club, what's that club? Beautiful club. It's just south of Hope Sound, the Floridian. It's a transfusion on the cap. So anyway, transfusions and golf kind of go together for those who don't play golf. So Max Homa's drive lands in my drink spot. He had a terrible lie for his second shot. There's a post of Max, and he's got this lie. And it looks like he's in a bird's nest. Well, you got to play it where it lies in the pine straw. You got to hit it. And so he goes on to bogey. So basically, it cost him a stroke. As it finished out, he finished a 60th, tied for 60th. If he makes par on the hole, he would have tied for 55th, $32,000 and change. Not a great payday. Anyway, he earned 27. So this guy leaving his drink in the spot that he then removed cost him five large.
Wow. Yeah, look, so your drink doesn't tip over. I mean, I get
it. Not a bad idea.
No, I get it. I was going to say that.
Uneven ground is probably a styrofoam cup, you know?
Yep.
That's kind of funny. Hey, I mentioned going to the Indy 500. It's going to be on Fox this week. We talked about Tom Brady's going to be doing the two-seater with Jimmy Johnson. The Thunderbird's going to do the flyover. It's going to be amazing. And then watching a guy from New York sing Back Home Again in Indiana. I still know the lyrics. I'm going to teach the guys. It's a lot of fun. You'll learn it next year, Day-Day. I'm telling you, we're going to go. One of the things that's also going to happen this weekend, tomorrow, Carburation Day. Now, needless to say, Carl, the cars don't have carburetors anymore. It's fuel injectors, twin turbos. But in the old days, Friday was like the last big day to practice and set up the car. So today, while they're doing that, they'll take a break from the action on Friday, I should say, and they're going to have six Oscar Mayer Wienermobiles from all over the country that are going to race on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
That's cool.
The Weenie 500.
Yeah. How fast do those things go?
That's the question. They say the top speed they're guesstimating is about 55 miles an hour. So from 235 to 55. Pretty cool, though. The top line there, top line speed, they think they can get up to 60. I presume they're going to have different, like, colored stripes so you can tell the cars. There's a car The Chicago dog from the Midwest, New York dog, a slaw dog, Sonoran dog from southwest of America, a chili dog, and a Seattle dog. Custom hot dog racing suits, trophy presentation, the whole shebang in the Wieners circle.
Okay, that's good. That's a nice play on words.
That's cute. Hey, Rook, I got time for one more? I got time for one more. Hey, what about a concert at Sanford Stadium? Wouldn't that be a cool vibe for fans out in Athens?
They don't do them there? I thought they did.
They haven't done one, apparently, in 10 years, according to the AJC. Actually, this is from the Athens Banner-Herald. Apparently, all the boosters getting together and athletic board approving the budget by Friday. $223 million, by the way. 16% up from last year. Apparently, last time they had a show at Sanford Stadium, Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan.
Okay.
It's 2013.
That's a big show.
So, Jarrett Moorhead, the UGA president, asking Josh Brooks, who was on the radio station, about what about doing a concert. And it says, you're going to be the opening act. Brooks says, I don't think they can afford me. He said, he raises a lot of coin. Josh Brooks raised a great point. We've talked so much about trying to get Outkast back together. It would be really cool if we get REM back together.
Good call.
And apparently, Josh Brooks is friends with REM's lawyer. And apparently, he's talked to Mike Mills, and Mike Mills keeps telling him no. But it would be really cool. Hey, by the way, you know, that's a band I'd love to see get back. Enough to make new material. REM at Sanford Stadium would be really cool. Anyway, they're shooting for maybe doing it next year. It would be in April or May of next season for a concert at Sanford Stadium.
Very cool. Right, yeah, I would have thought they did more there, honestly. Right. I didn't realize that was the last big, big show there.
Hey, man, that's your guy talk.
Hey, man, coming up. We're going to hear from our offensive coordinator and our defensive coordinator. Things like what is the progression of our quarterback in Michael Penix and what is James Pierce look like so far? We're going to get all of that and much more as part of our Falcon Report on the way here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America. Yeah.